Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to Sunday night. I have missed you guys. I was only off a week, but I really missed talking to you guys on Sunday night. So God bless. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory, praise, and honor. Father, I thank you. I know you're releasing something. You're releasing something tonight. This is probably not going to be a preach, but more of a release. And I'm fit to be tied. I feel like yelling, but I won't do it because I'm wearing a microphone. It might hurt your ear. But I feel like yelling because I'm hearing God say some words. I've been hearing them for a couple hours. And I'm poking along a little here because I know that people are still joining in. So I thank you, Father, that you're going to not only talk about this, but you're doing something, that there's changes in the earth being made right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we receive these things from you, your hand. You are the great and mighty judge, and we receive what you're doing today. We receive it. The word I got today was freedom, loud and clear. I heard it loud and clear. And I saw a couple things. I saw a judge bang a gavel with that loud thwack, like he is declaring liberty. I saw prison gates open. I saw a rope that was very tight, and instead of it being untied, I saw a big axe come down and cut that thing, and it popped. I know this is for more than one person. I see freedom from things that have held God's people back. Some of you know that you're called for to move forward in greater things, but you've been trying to do the best you can, and you don't even know why you're being held back. You try to move forward, and you feel stuck sometimes. Sometimes that's a spirit. Sometimes it's just, things in the earth. It happens. And it happens, if you read the Bible, it happens to virtually every person that is called in any way to do something with God or for God. Whether it's a public thing or a private thing, we all go through certain things, and it's called preparation. But the glory of Jesus, right, is that he came to set captives free, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And the scripture is just shot through, just shot through with all the things that Jesus frees us from. And some of it I'm seeing right now is old thinking. Some of you have been bound. I see thinking in your head that is gnarly. You know how you think about the past and you begin to just wind it around and wonder, why did it happen? Is that going to happen again? Will it always be this way? No, it won't. Because when God sets you free from your past, you are free indeed. And I can remember when I was so bound in my past and the things that had happened to me, I was so beat up, I couldn't even look forward anymore. And I'll tell you, when God frees you from that, you never look back. You don't. It's like your memory shifts. It's like you kind of know what happened, but you're so free in your new identity, in your new freedom. It's like you can hardly remember what it was like. And I remember at the beginning of my journey, I remember saying, Lord, I need you to change me. I'll do anything. I can't stand the way I am. And I said, I want to be so different. I won't even remember what it was like to be me before. I said, I want it to be like being born again. And there was a journey there, but I'm telling you, when God cut those ropes, it truly is like all that stuff that happened to the old Holly is such a dim memory. I'm aware it happened to someone named Holly Bailey years ago, but I can't remember. All the difficulty's gone, all the pain is gone, but the most important thing that's gone is you lose that that trap of feeling like, oh, here it comes again, because that's the real issue with carrying your past. Someone, you have been so bound by your past that you've almost been doomed to repeat it because you have faith for it to happen again. Oh, here we go again. You've even said things like, every time I try this, that happens in a negative way. You actually have faith for the bad thing to happen. And that can, I understand it. I am not condemning it. I know what it is to get beat up by the enemy. And even I remember what it was like to feel like, what is there, some kind of cloud over my head? You know, is it just always going to rain? I mean, am I always going to have this big target? What? I just didn't get it. But I'll tell you what, when God bangs the gavel and when God cuts that rope and you're free, you never look back again. And you know you are free indeed. And you know that the real you, the real one, will come forth and that you will fulfill all of your purpose in the earth, because you were born to do a thing. Whether it's big or small doesn't matter. You were born to have fellowship with the Most High. And some of you have been a little bit afraid to fellowship with Him, afraid maybe He wasn't always wanting to be really close to you. God is so looking for you. He's drawing His people during this day. God is eager in His heart. He's like, pardon the expression, but He's like a man on a first date with somebody. He loves you. He loves His kids. He can't wait to be with you. And one thing I know that He doesn't like is when the enemy tries to steal you from the presence of God. The enemy tries to slap you around and say, well, I don't think God really wants you to be close to Him because, you know, you don't have it all together. Well, of course you don't. How would you? How would we ever get it together except in His presence? There is no other way. There is no way to live right as a Christian except by developing a personal relationship with the Father. We can't do it by ourselves. We are a mess. Our flesh is a mess. We don't have the natural ability to be great people. We just don't. So the easiest thing, honestly, the easiest way to do Christianity is just fess up. Let's be honest. I can't do this. I don't have the ability to be a good Christian or to get it right. I've tried everything. I know. I prayed. I fasted. I've done all the stuff, right? If you've been there, you've followed every formula. You've yelled at the devil. You've, you know, done all the stuff. But at some point, there should come a revelation. It is all by His grace. And His grace works best when I just go in and say, I just don't have it. I don't have the ability, but You do. And I'm believing You, Lord, to raise me up, set me free, break the addiction. Lord, I'm here. I'll do anything You tell me. And you know what? I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes you'll fail many times before you get free. You know how I know? Woo, failure right here. Many years of failure. But you know what? I had something that I wish every person had. I was able to hear God so gently saying, don't look at that. Look at Me. Don't look at that. Look at Me. Don't look at your failures. Don't look at the times you've been around the same mountain, around the same barn. Oh, Lord, I just keep doing the same thing. Don't look at that. Look at Me. Because faith is we look at His ability in the face of our complete inability. And that is what's pleasing to God. Faith pleases God. And it's pleasing to Him for us to say, you know what, I've tried everything and I wasn't able to do it. But Father, I believe Your word. And Your word says You love me in spite of me. You love me even if I don't get it right. Even if it took me 50 times around that mountain, You love me. And You haven't given up on me and You're never going to give up. That's faith. And that's what the word says. Your Father will never be tired of you. You say, even if I still have this problem, yeah, you know, that's His nature. You're His kid. You're His own, His very own. Being around you makes His heart beat faster. He loves you. And he doesn't love you because you're perfect. He loves you because you're His and because you're you. And because He created you and designed you. And the love that He had when He saw you, He formed you in the womb. He knew you. He knew you. God has known you from the beginning. God has known you. Jesus knew you on the cross. I'm telling you, you make God's heart go pitter-pat. That's the truth. And you say, even with all my mess, yeah, sure, but guess what? After tonight, some of that mess has fallen off, because I'm not kidding. I saw freedom, and it wasn't just a nice word. It was a declaration in the Spirit. Some people are going forward. I'm seeing a picture of at a horse race. Did you ever see a horse race? And the horses are real jumpy and excited because they're race horses. They're very fast. And the rider has to sit kind of it's very edgy, I'll tell you what. The writer sits in a very awkward position. His feet are up high, and they have to fit into this little cage, very small. It's actually very dangerous, and the horses are upset, and sometimes they're jumping around, but they're waiting for a moment. They're waiting for the bell, or used to be the gun, to go off, and the minute that bell rings, all the gates at once, simultaneously, wham, they swing open, and all the horses take off. And the picture I'm seeing is that the gates are open, and I'm hearing floodgates. Some of you have been waiting, and you've been like, you know, like, you know how a horse, they're stomping, they're champing at the bit. They want to go, man. They want to go. They've got something to do. And I saw that some of you have been waiting for a long time, and I saw the gates open, and God is saying to you, I'm telling you, God is saying to you, those gates are opening, and some of you are going to run, and you're not going to be hindered. You're going to run that race. You're going to do some things. Some of you will do things you didn't even think you could do, because that's what God likes. He likes to do things through us that we didn't even think we could do. God loves to show himself off to us, through us. There have been nights when I thought, I remember, not so much anymore because I'm kind of old now, but I remember for years, it was really challenging to go preach. You know, I was terribly shy. I didn't know what I was doing, and I knew I didn't know what I was doing. And I would go and, you know, I would agonize, and I would pray, and oh God, you know, and I would beg him to let me quit because it was so scary. And you know, God would just show up, and he would do things in the meeting and say things through me. And I would actually hear myself preaching things. And I would think, I didn't even know that. Wow, God, you're so smart. And it was like he was chuckling because he was showing himself off. He's not showing us. He's showing himself off. God wants to be huge in you. And you say, despite my faults, yeah, that's who he is. That's exactly who he is. And God is going to do some great things in your life. And so God wants you to look back, throw off the shackles and say, I'm not accepting that anymore. Fear, I'm not accepting fear anymore. Fear for bad things to happen, I'm not accepting that anymore. You might even say, I don't know what God's plan is, but here is what I know. God is good, and his plan for me is good. And if I just stay close to him, he will work it out even when I don't know what it is. And that's the plan of God. God doesn't exactly want us to know, believe it or not. God doesn't always tell us the whole piece. So we sit with him, right? We get pieces of our blueprint. We get words here and words there. But I think on purpose, he doesn't show us everything at once. Because you know why? We would run off in our flesh and try to make it happen. And it would be terrible. It would be a disaster. So what he does is says, just do this today. And you say, well, what about tomorrow? Just do this today. You know why? He wants you to learn how to trust him step by step by step. And what happens as you grow in this, I'm telling you, scary things will happen. A big thing will happen off to the right. Woo, you get scared. And God just says, no, it's okay. And he walks you through that. Something else happens. Woo. And you know, I can't help it. I trained a lot of horses. And one thing I noticed is that if you want them to be not afraid, you just ride them through everything. You ride them by traffic and trains and tin cans and guns going off, loud noises, because you want them to understand that you're never, ever going to put them in harm's way because you care for them. God will never put you in harm's way. But what happens is eventually the horse understands that you have nothing but good for them. And they say, okay, this is scary, but I'm going to do it because I trust my master. You see, do you know what the word meek meant? One of the meanings of the word meek was with those great war horses. They were huge, huge horses. Now, if you think about back in the day, right, the Trojan war horses or the Greek or Roman horses, the man riding had a shield, and he either had a sword or a spear, right? So he could not use the reins to guide the horse, could he? So that horse had to be so attuned to the master that he knew the touch of a foot or the pressure of a knee or the sound of a voice. And for them to get that close, they had to be together all the time. You know, you couldn't ride somebody else's horse. You had to, this was your horse. You trained them and they got to know you through time and time and time and time and time together until the place where if you just nudged them in the little spit, they knew go left. And see, a meek horse is massive. He is fearless. He charges straight into the battle without fear. He doesn't flinch. If his master says go, he goes. If his master says stop, he stops. He's not afraid. A meek horse is not a weak one, and it's not a fearful one. It's a powerful, powerful horse that's under complete submission. And the big word, trust. Right? We have to come to a place where we trust the master so implicitly that if he takes us into a scary place, or he takes us into a scary situation, that we say, you know what, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm with my father. And if he gives me a nudge, I'm going to go, and I'm not going to be weak. I'm going to go straight in. If he tells me to wait, I'll wait, right? It's like that song, you know, if you say go, I will go. If you say wait, I will wait. You know, if you say step out on the water and they say it can't be done, I'll keep my eyes on you. Because we're one, you know, we're going to be one. We're going to do what you say. It's an amazing thing. It's a lifestyle. God is calling us to leave the fetters behind. And the fetters I'm seeing are our fear and a wrong kind of fear of God. I break right now that wrong judgment that some people feel from the Lord. Now, the Lord does have, there is a right judgment. But it is not, there's a right fear of God. There's a wonderful fear of God. It'll change our life. But that is never the one that says, oh, you can't go into his presence. In fact, that is the work of Satan. Okay? I don't care how far you've gone, how badly you've blown it, or how much of a screw up you think you are. God, keep reading the story of the prodigal son. God is always, the Father is always looking down the road, waiting for his son to come home. Always, always. How many times? Every day his mercy is new. Every morning. But I've done it so many times. Every morning his mercy is new. How far are your sins away from you? As far as the east is from the west. Now you think about this. If you go east, you know when you meet west? Never. East never meets west. It's infinite. West never meets east. Your sins are as far from you as the east is from the west, infinitely far. You say, even if I did it again, yeah, even if you did it again, because if you keep coming back, you will be set free, because in the presence, the chains are broken. Is it always the first time? No, sometimes you got to go a whole bunch of times. You go, here I am again, Papa, Father, I don't know why you love me, but hey, I know the word says you still love me. I still got a problem. I need some help, but I'm believing you. I believe your word that you're gonna set me free. And I feel like God wants to raise up a people that trust him. You know, there, I love you, but I know I'm talking to some people that trust has been an issue, and it's been an issue for a good reason. I'm gonna be really blunt. There's some people I'm talking to, you've never had a person that you could really trust. You've never had a human that you were sure you could trust. And you've had, sometimes you would try to trust somebody and you got nailed. And it left you feeling like, how can I ever trust anyone? Some of you that are listening, there's a person listening that you did not have a good encounter or experience with your earthly father. So when people talk about a heavenly father, you almost flinch, because your encounters with a father figure have not been. And I just want to say this to you. There's no one on earth like our real father, because they're all fallen. Our dads, we love them. You know, we forgive them. We bless them and we respect them. I'm going to tell you something. They were fallen creatures. Some were saved, some were not. But I'm going to tell you something. They're human. And no matter what errors they made, I want to tell you something. You've never met anybody like your Father in heaven. His love is unending. His love is unending. And I don't care how deep a pit you fall in, he will reach in and get you if you will call his name. If you won't quit on him, he'll never quit on you. Okay? And some of you have been afraid to call out to Jesus. You want to, but you feel like you went too far this time. It's a lie. That's a lie from the pit, right? Because you know why? Satan is afraid of you connecting with your Father. Because listen, as you start to connect with your Father enough, there's something that kind of happens. First, it's a kind of, we might say, a friendship. A relationship begins to form, and you grow closer and closer. And I don't know how long this takes, but sooner or later, there comes a thing where it's like you become one with him, and you're in him, and you know he's good. And you don't have to know the answers. You don't have to be the smart one, and you don't have to know the outcome or how to do it or how to fix it or even how to pray right. You just can say, you know what? My Father, he knows what to do, and I don't know how he's going to do it, but I can trust in him. And you snuggle into him. You snuggle into him. You put your trust in him, and you hide in him. You know, like a little baby. I was watching today. I got to see some dads with kids. It was a real blessing. I saw one man out there. He was taking his two boys fishing, and they were marching behind him. They all had their fishing poles, and it was cute as a button. Another dad was coming back, and he had a little bitty toddler, you know. Just, you could tell the dad just loved the boy, you know, just loved the little toddler. And, you know, when a toddler is scared, they don't run away, you know, unless they've had a bad dad. They run to their dad, and they just burrow in. You know, they just burrow in. And the Father, I feel like the Father's saying, some of you, you just need to run to me. You don't have to understand everything. This is a word from the Lord. Stop trying to be so smart about everything. There are some things in eternity you won't understand until after, okay? There are some things I'm playing out in your life, and you won't always understand it until you walk through it. And then you look back and you go, oh, that's what my Father was doing. And your trust grows. And what happens, listen, that's exactly how God trains us. That's how he trained Abraham. That's how he trained Moses, right? That's how he trains his best, right? He has them walk through stuff that makes no sense. In fact, did you know that the Hebrew method of learning, see, the Greeks want to understand it first. Well, you know what? That's a terrible idea. When you're talking about the Word of God, because the Word of God is eternal. It's forever settled in heaven. Our intellect literally cannot comprehend the things of heaven without a visit, okay? Meaning without a revelation from the Holy Spirit, without that connection. So if you're trying to figure it out and know all the answers and you're frustrated and fearful, I know this is out there for some people, a stretch for you. But the Hebrew method was you do the word, you do what it says, whether you understand it or not. And as you do it, and you do it, and you do it, then one day you say, oh, I see what he's been trying to teach me, right? They did the feasts out of obedience, right? I'm sure many did not understand the Passover lamb, right? You know, when that happened, I'm sure they just thought, it was about the past, so they didn't understand what was really going on. Many people still don't. But once you get it, I'm telling you, the Word of God comes alive for you in relationship. It's in relationship that you have those aha. You know, I love study. I'm in a Bible study. I love study. I love it, love it. I love the Word of God. But I'm telling you something. You know where I learn the most? Is when I've read it. Maybe I've looked some stuff up. Maybe I've pondered it. Yay. Then I close it and I go hang out with God, and maybe we're not even talking about that. And all of a sudden, it's like I just get this, oh, out of relationship. I just know. Yeah, I'll tell you something interesting. Anybody that preaches by the Spirit will know what I'm talking about. You can be preaching by the Spirit and suddenly get a revelation as you preach. And you know why? Because you're in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because in the place of the Spirit, you're in his place where all things are wrought. Where are things birthed? Where are things born? Where are ideas and conceptions come from? The earth is a pile of junk. This is a fallen system. God has to work to get truth through all the layers of ook. I just made up a word, to get it to us. So what has he done? He's done this amazing thing where he's put his spirit in us and given us a born-again spirit where we can actually fellowship in the spirit by hanging out with our Father. It's called fellowship. It's called relationship. You say, I don't know how to do it. You just ask him. You say, Father, Papa, I don't even know how to do that. Would you show me? You go for walks together. You know, go to the store together. Ask him questions. It's just like a little kid with a dad, okay? Don't ever be afraid to ask your Father simple questions. Don't ever think God thinks you should know. God knows. We're kind of, you know, to be honest, we're not the brightest lamp on the street. God understands. You know, compared to God, we're so limited. Our intellect is, you know, but I'll tell you where you're not limited, in your born-again spirit, right? Because in that, you have the mind of Christ. So you have to learn how to fellowship and relate to your Father without that wrong kind of fear. So I feel like a big word for tonight is trust, and a big word for tonight is freedom. Because some of you, I'm seeing, I saw one person where the gate is thrown open, but they're inside. They're like the horse that's going, you know, like he's snorting and he's not sure and he's not running because he still thinks he's in the cage. So right now, I break the cage off of you. I break the limits off of you. I break the past off of you. I break the trauma off of you that somebody went through. I break doubt off of you, and I release you into your new life. I release you into that God connection, because some of you need to spend time with God. Some of you need to come home from work, or, you know, come away for a little bit and just kind of hide out with God. If you have a family, you know, take care of them, bless them. But then maybe late at night, you go tuck them all in and you sneak back out to the living room. Excuse me. You sneak off to a quiet place. Or maybe you go on your lunch hour. You can find ways. You can find places to hide away. You know, there should be a place. It can, for me, it can be anywhere. Anywhere. But if I don't have that hideaway with him, I get kind of, you know, I'm not happy. You know, because happiness comes from that joining, right? That's my lifeline. He is the vine. Or the branches, we're supposed to abide in that vine. That means continually drink, continually drink, continually drink. But I get it. A lot of us have jobs. I had a job that was extremely taxing mentally. And old people say, well, you can stay in the spirit all the time. Well, you can, but I'll tell you something. When you're in a really tough project, sometimes that's not so easy. So what I would have to do is carve out bits and pieces of time. I had to do it for years, you know, because I had, you know, really busy work, really busy after work was, you know, I mean, it was pretty much busy all the time. So I'd carve out pieces of time. And it doesn't have to be, you know, listen, it doesn't have to be huge, but grow in your relationship. And it's okay if you go to him honestly and say, I'm not sure how to do this. Can you teach me? He would love to. He will love to. He'd love to teach you how to hear from God, the difference between false and true prophetic. The difference between, you know, you'll hear two teachers and they say opposite things. You know what some people do? They'll call another leader and say, what do you think? What is the difference? What I think? Ask God, honestly, what do you think, God? I hear Pastor ABC saying this, and I see Pastor XYZ saying that, and they're in opposition, and they both have good scriptures. Good. That's a good place to start. You go to the Father and say, hey, you know what? I know you love these guys. I think they're good guys. They're probably real smart, but what do you say? What do you say, Father? And you just wait. Don't worry. If you don't hear right away, don't wait. You don't worry. Just wait. God will find a way, usually within the next day, to tell you what he thinks. He'll give you a scripture. He'll quicken something to you, right? That's called a connection with the Holy Spirit. He's your mentor. And by the way, God wants to make you a shining light out of the kingdom of heaven. He wants to shine through you his glory, right? He wants to shine his works through you. So don't ever think you're less, or that person's better, or that person's more gifted. You know what? Gifting is all accessible by a continual going to God. All the gifts are available to all of the saints. all of the body. But most people stay outside and say, I wish I had that. I wish God would somehow give that to me. Maybe he'll show up on a white horse and just drop that on my head. No, no, no. What he did was he died for us all to have it all. And he laid it all out and said, how much do you want? But you got to come in and get it. Does it happen overnight? Nope, you just keep coming. Oh, I didn't get it yet? Keep coming. Oh, I didn't get it yet. You know, you will do well if you just say, you know what, listen, God, I know I'm imperfect, but I am not going to quit coming until I get revelation, until I get knowledge, until I get what you got me to get. And then I'm going to keep coming after that. And after I get that, I'm going to keep coming. Because what happens is you grow in ways you never saw coming, right? And you begin to actually shine for Jesus. And people start saying, what is that? What is that about you? You know, it says the most interesting thing in the book of Acts. It says that they saw that Peter and John were ignorant and unlearned men, but they saw that they had been with Jesus. You understand that if you develop a lifestyle of being with Jesus, you start to carry his fragrance, right? And the Bible says we are his fragrance, right? It's a fragrance of life. Some people will run away. It's not you they're running away from. If they're running away, they're just running away from God for a moment. Just ask him for something to give them. But other people will be drawn to you and they actually think they like something about you. It's like, no, it's him you like. It's him you're drawn to, right? Because what happens is you've now become more connected to him. You're carrying his fragrance and his fragrance smells really good. And people are often drawn and they don't know why they're drawn, right? And so they'll ask, what is that about you? How did you get that? And you can help them. And our job, all of us, is to help people find their way into relationship, right? We all have one ministry. No matter what else we all have one ministry. It's called the ministry of reconciliation, right? That's to take someone's hand and God's hand and join them together so that they are reconciled. Now, you may say that could be a lost person, or guess what? It could be someone in the church that's just, you know, they don't really know God. They love him. They maybe said the born again sinner's prayer, but they're stumbling and bumbling. They don't know a lot. Listen, there's a huge ministry. The Holy Spirit wants to help them. And he wants to use you to do it. He wants to use you to speak his words, not your words, right? Not earthly wisdom, but his wisdom. He wants to give you heavenly wisdom. Isn't that amazing that God would use us? You know, we're just a bunch of schmoes, right? But God has made us eternal beings with the wisdom of the Most High God if we learn how to tap into it. So God's word for tonight is freedom. Liberty, freedom and liberty. And the other word I'm hearing again is trust. You have a good path before you. Do not be afraid. Refuse the devil's package. Refuse the devil's lies. He's always going to try, because listen, the things I'm talking about, they may sound real simple, but the enemy is terrified that you'll get it. He's terrified that you're going to come to a place where you're one with God, or where you know God's love for you no matter what. When you really know God loves me no matter how I'm doing. You know, if I do it right, he loves me. If I don't get it right, he loves me. When you get that, that terrifies the enemy, because what is he going to do now? He can't stop you. He can't stop you from getting delivered. He can't stop you from getting healed. He can't stop you from being used of God. It's amazing, the gospel. Is amazing. Now, does God want us clean up? Sure. Does he want us holy? You bet. Is holiness important? Paramount. But the news is, you can't do it in your flesh. God can do it in you. And when he does it, it's awesome. I mean to tell you, the holiness of God is an outworking of our fellowship and our relationship with him. Okay? I love you, and I'm believing for big things. I'm telling you, I'm believing for big things for you, because I'm seeing great freedom. Some of you are afraid to believe me. I don't know, could I really get free from that? I've had that all my life. Yes, and I command it to be so, in accordance with the word of the Lord, in Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.